Moving and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving Fireball Hot Take Friday, coming to you from parts unknown. If you're looking at the stream, I think it can kind of give you not a guess where, but you can probably get a good idea of where I am doing the show from outside. It is a beautiful day. Ian told me it's a beautiful day back home, so I'm going to have to take his word for it, which is good for everybody on this Fireball Hot Take Friday. Caroline Fenton, we got some movement in the NHL. I don't know. Does this count as a trade deadline front? Riley Nash has 7 points this season for Columbus, and he got traded to Toronto for a conditional seventh round pick. So, I mean, it's almost like a taxi squad edition, I would guess. I don't know. Does that change anything about maybe they know they're out? Maybe David Poile told them today, hey, you're out of the Granlund sweepstakes. So they went out and they got somebody that's, I guess, maybe a little bit more than a nobody.
I don't know. They're still interested in Granlund. You know, they've been interested in Granlund. So I wouldn't take that for more than surface level.
I mean, again, a conditional seventh. What is that? I mean, like, that you're not doing anything on that front. You are not doing anything at a conditional seventh. I think David Poile got lucky. I think that David Poile knew he had to sell. I think David Poile decided, hey, you know what? Let's hold out as long as we can to see if we can drive the prices up on these guys. And now he's at a point to where, who knows? I mean, right now, if you call David Poile, David can legitimately tell you, hey, I don't think we're making a big move here. I don't think we're doing something crazy. I don't think we're doing something drastic. I think David is kind of in the driver's seat right now. You got to give David credit. I'm not sure he did anything to put him in the driver's seat, but I got to give David some credit. I mean, I think David's pretty lucky that right now, if you call David, you got to pay top dollar. You are not paying a conditional seventh round pick for anything right now. If you call David and you want Cali Yarncroke, a versatile two-way forward, they can play on your power player, play on your penalty kill, can be on your first line, can be on your fourth line. It's going to cost you. So I think the intrigue, I think, you know, talking with Adam, talking with Corey Curtis, Caroline, talking with everybody, I think there's this sense that if they trade guys on Monday, I don't think people will be surprised. And if they don't trade guys on Monday, I don't think people will be surprised.
I totally agree with you. And I think that fans are going to be okay either way. If Granlund goes, I mean, his value is just going up and up and up, along with other players that you could trade. I mean, you look at Holla's game last night. I think just based off of that game last night, his stock went up. So, I mean, if you decide to trade those guys and you get some serious things in return, let's say we get a first-round draft pick. Let's say you get some really interesting prospects out of that.
Yes.
Then, I mean, hey, their stock is only going up. And I think that I don't think that David Poile would make any sort of move unless he got top dollar for it.
By the way, ESPN 102.5 The Game and T-Mobile have teamed up to give away a hockey home dating party. Text the word puck right now to 615-737-1025 to enter for your chance to win a Dos Equis prize pack, which includes a case of beer, dessert from Nothing Bundt Cakes, a T-Mobile prize pack, and food provided by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. You must be 21 or older to enter. Time for headlines from Caroline.
We're spanning the sports world. It's Headlines with Caroline on Stillman & Company, right here on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Tim McManus
should have told Ian that we were doing that.
Poor Ian. He's just got to pick up where you leave off.
I know. I told Caroline we were doing that. I should have told Ian we were doing that. My bad. Caroline, the floor is yours.
Tim McManus, an ESPN staff writer, broke down some of the best wide receivers in this draft and compared them to current wide receivers or wide receivers who had a lot of success in the league. So since this is such a wide receiver-heavy draft, and since wide receiver is in need of the Titans in this draft, I thought I would break some of these down with you. First, Ja'Marr Chase out of LSU, he compared him to Julio Jones, which is very, very interesting. They have a similar size. Ja'Marr Chase, 6 foot, 208 pounds. Julio Jones, 6 feet, 220 pounds. They're both super quick. They have similar hands. What do you think about Ja'Marr Chase being compared to Julio Jones?
It is Fireball Hot Take Friday, right?
It is Fireball Hot Take Friday. You are correct.
I think he's going to be better than Julio Jones.
I do too.
I think he's going to be I think I like Ja'Marr Chase so much that, like, last year, had he been eligible for the draft, I think he's the first receiver off the board ahead of Henry Ruggs, ahead of Jerry Jeudy, ahead of CeeDee Lamb. I think he's the first receiver off the board. I mean, the guy, like, at LSU a couple years ago, Chase was the clear number one. Justin Jefferson was the clear number two.
And NFL Rookie of the Year.
Justin Jefferson has been in the league. Justin Jefferson has been in the league for 5 minutes and is a clear number one NFL receiver. Ja'Marr Chase is that freaking good. I mean, it's almost, in my opinion, it's hard to look at the season Devontae Smith had last year and say, oh, no, somebody else is better. And I believe Chase is better. So I know people, it's Fireball Hot Take Friday. Let me just say, I think Ja'Marr Chase is going to be better than Julio Jones.
I agree. And if you want to use their final college seasons as any sort of comparison, Ja'Marr Chase had 84 catches for 1,780 yards and 20 touchdowns. In comparison, Julio Jones at Alabama, 78 catches for 1,133 yards and 7 touchdowns to Ja'Marr Chase's 20. If that's any indication of his production in the NFL, I think that you are correct that Ja'Marr Chase will be much more successful than Julio Jones in the NFL.
Although Alabama does run the ball more than LSU.
Correct. Which is funny because that's not how LSU's offense was a few years ago. But when in Ja'Marr Chase's final season, yes, you are correct. LSU threw the ball much more than Alabama. Jaylen Waddle out of Alabama was compared to Tyreek Hill of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Boy, I'm nervous about Waddle. I always thought Waddle had the speed and surely still does have the speed. That was a bad injury he suffered against Tennessee. And not only that, I always knew he was fast, but I never felt about him the way I feel about Devontae Smith. I never felt about him the way I feel about Jerry Jeudy. I never felt that way about him. Now, he is fast, and Tyreek Hill is fast too, but I'd be careful getting that excited about the speed of Jaylen Waddle, especially coming off the injury.
And he's not just fast. He is very explosive. He's an explosive wide receiver, but when he was out with his injury, Devontae Smith came in and there was not even a gap in production, but Devontae Smith was better than Jaylen Waddle. I still think he's a great wide receiver. I still think he's a first-round wide receiver. But yeah, that injury was pretty rough. Kadarius Toney out of Florida compared to Curtis Samuel, kind of a similar size. Samuel's known as a do-it-all playmaker, according to Tim McManus. Kadarius Toney is known as a do-it-all playmaker as well as Curtis Samuel. So what do you think about that?
You know, Toney, I think, is one of those guys who gets drafted and either he lights it up as a superstar in the league or we never hear about him. He gets his fifth-year option decline and we're like, oh, yeah, Kadarius Toney. I remember when they made a big deal out of him, like they did Corey Coleman out of Baylor a handful of years ago. I like Kadarius Toney. I don't want to take anything away from him. I feel like he's a very boom or bust prospect in this year's draft.
I agree, and I don't think he's getting enough hype because he was kind of overshadowed by Kyle Pitts at Florida, but I think that there is more to Kadarius Toney than we have seen in his tenure at Florida. Tutu Atwell, your guy out of Louisville, compared to Hollywood Brown, Marquise Brown from the Baltimore Ravens.
I don't know. Does Hollywood Brown have a hard time catching the ball? Because, again, I read all these things about Tutu Atwell, and I see where they put him on draft boards. I watched every Louisville game this year. The guy just doesn't catch the ball enough. I mean, I every time you break down a wide receiver, if catching the ball is a problem that a guy has, I guess I'm just not that interested. Atwell, I mean, his size, he's just not big enough, man. He takes the hits. I mean, he will take a hit, which I'm grateful for, but his size, his inability to be consistent catching the ball, I would not take Tutu Atwell with the 22nd pick in the draft if I were the Titans. I would not be okay with that.
I don't think he's a first-round wide receiver. I agree with you in that. Atwell, 5'9", 153 pounds. Marquise Brown, 5'9", 180. That's a huge difference. And Tutu will grow. He'll get bigger when he's in the NFL, but he is a small guy. But he had 69 catches for 1,272 yards in his best year at Louisville, 11 touchdowns as a sophomore. Rashad Bateman.
Plus, isn't Hollywood Brown kind of a bust?
No, I wouldn't say so. He's a pretty productive wide receiver in Baltimore. I wouldn't call him a bust.
I don't know. Like, I don't know if they'll pick up his fifth-year option. You know, I mean, I know that'll be next year that they have to pick that up. I don't think they'll pick that up. I don't think so. I think he's not a number one receiver, I don't think, and I'm not sure he ever will be. Rashad Bateman, go ahead.
Rashad Bateman was compared to Devontae Adams, Green Bay Packers wide receiver.
I love Bateman, and I love Adams. You know, Bateman, I think, was a guy, the Big Ten and their COVID season and the way they went about it. I don't think that that helped matters, and I found that to be a little disconcerting, the way they went about that.
Yeah, Rashad Bateman, a little slow. I'm sorry. Devontae Adams, a little slow in his 40 and his pro day in college, but McManus says that both Bateman and Adams showed the ability to adjust to the ball in the air and make tough contorting catches, which I think isn't really something that you can learn. You can get bigger. You can get faster. You can't have that wide receiver IQ, that just desire to catch the ball more than anything else. And I think that that is something that Rashad Bateman has.
When did Tim McManus start writing about football? Like, isn't he a basketball guy?
According to this, April 8th, he started talking about football.
But isn't he a basketball guy?
I don't know. Either way, I think he did a pretty great job.
Ian, isn't he a basketball guy? When did he decide to become Mel Kiper Jr.? Isn't he a basketball guy? Am I crazy on this?
His name doesn't really resonate huge in my brain right now, to be honest with you. So, I don't know. I'm kind of blanking on one. Tim McManus?
He was a Philadelphia Eagles reporter for NFL Nation for ESPN.
Must be a different guy.
Who's the guy that covers LeBron all the time? The was in Cleveland. I think he's now in L.A. for ESPN. I don't know. Whatever. I digress. What else is out there, Caroline?
Final comparison, Devontae Smith is compared to Marvin Harrison, who was the wide receiver for the Indianapolis Colts from 1996 to 2008.
Well, I never thought Marvin was that fast. But, Nate, I mean, you know, Marvin obviously is a Hall of Fame player, so I don't want to take anything away from him. But, I mean, Marvin was pretty good. So, and I would say that Marvin Harrison probably had a better career than Julio Jones, but I think Ja'Marr Chase is a better pick in this year's draft. Just me, I think Ja'Marr Chase is a better draft better pick than Devontae Smith.
I think that Devontae Smith is a very solid second choice for wide receiver. If you need a wide receiver and Ja'Marr Chase is taken, I think Devontae Smith is an incredibly viable option. And also, of all the receivers drafted in 1996 when Harrison was drafted, only Key and Terrell Owens are in the Pro Football Hall of Fame out of that draft class.
And only he out of that draft class got to play with Peyton Manning. So that's the way I mean, when you look at it, Edgerrin James is in the Hall of Fame, Tony Dungy's in the Hall of Fame, Bill Polian's in the Hall of Fame, Marvin Harrison's in the Hall of Fame, and even though they shouldn't, one day Reggie Wayne is going to get in the Hall of Fame. Again, shouldn't, but he's going to get into the Hall of Fame, and I just against that. Okay, so Dave McMiniman, he is the basketball guy. McManus is football. Okay, that makes sense. I heard Tim McManus, I'm like, isn't he basketball? Dave McMiniman. Just a man of many talents. That's Caroline's headlines. Coming up next, Corey Curtis has a take about David Poile and the situation, and I'm not sure, even though I'm happy with the team, I don't know if I can get there. We'll do that coming up. Whole Selling Studio powered by rumbleon.com. I am so excited that baseball is back. There's nothing like watching a game with great weather, a cold drink, and a little action on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. If you've never bet on baseball before, now is the perfect time to give it a shot. FanDuel is letting new users swing for the fences risk-free. You'll get up to $1,000 back if your first bet doesn't win. And once you have an account, you can get up to $25 back each day if your same-game parlay bet falls one leg short. This way, you can combine multiple baseball bets for an even bigger win all season long. There's a reason FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook app. The app is simple to use, and they've got great odds on all different betting markets, unique bet types, and same-game parlays, always on promotions, and much, much more. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and use our promo code JGM to get in on all the action. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code JGM. 21 and older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager for risk-free bet. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Restrictions apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800 889-9789. Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Do you think that you guys, especially the guys who have been mentioned in some of the trade rumors, you know, even going back weeks, do you think you guys have done enough to tell management, hey, keep the whole group together and make a run at it?
Out of our control. You know, we're playing for the Nashville Predators. We're proud to be here, and we're going to, you know, give it all we got every single night. And I don't really have an answer directly to that question, but you know, we love it here, and we want to help get this team to the playoffs and go for a run.
Eric Halla last night, he might be on the block non-committal about what David Poile may do or how they feel about what David Poile may do. We asked Adam Dingin earlier today in the show, what did he think David Poile was going to do? He says he thinks he stands pat. Caroline Fenton, would you be surprised if somebody got traded on Monday? Granlin, Halla, Cousins, not one of the big guys like Ekholm or something crazy like that, but would you be surprised if one of the expiring contract guys is dealt? Because the more it sounds, the more we talk, the more it sounds like people are assuming Poile will do nothing.
I don't think I will be surprised either way. If Poile decides to sell, I'll say, okay, that's what we're going to do for a while now, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to invest in the future of this team. If he decides to stay, I'll say, all right, let's do this thing. We've seen this team grow from pretty much the bottom to where it is right now. They have really ascended. And it would be really fun to watch this team stay together and make a run for the Cup. So I honestly won't be surprised either way. I will be incredibly surprised if David Poile decides to buy. I think that's the silliest thing that he could do at this point.
Well, is that, I mean,
that's not going to happen. Yeah, that's the only way I'll be surprised in this situation.
I think I'm rooting for some of those guys to go. I'm rooting for the picks. They need to recoup picks. They need to add to the pot. They need to eventually do something for the future. Corey Curtis, News 2, was on our show earlier today on a Fireball Hot Take Friday, and Corey Curtis says that if he were David Poile, even he'd have a hard time about making a move that a lot of people think would be probably the most beneficial move they could make.
We're just at that point. This team is hot, and they're hot at the right time. I'm not touching it. Unless it's one of the vets that they've got who's really kind of lost his place because the young guys have simply replaced him. But the guys that are contributing to you right now, I mean, look, I'd love to get a second-round pick for Granlin. I would, but you can't. You can't, because the way this team is playing right now, you don't know what can happen in the playoffs. Could they lose to Tampa or Florida 4-1? Absolutely. Could they stun them 4-2, 4-3? Absolutely. You've got to give them that shot. I think they've earned it at this point. I wouldn't be a buyer, but I wouldn't really be a seller. I mean, I would selectively be a seller. Of course, unless somebody wanted to take Duchesne off my hands, I would make that deal.
So the idea that I'd love a second-round pick for Granlin, but I can't do it for the team right now, I'm against. And Adam Dingin brought up the idea of what Columbus did a couple years ago, which was everybody thought Columbus was trending in the wrong direction at the deadline. They stood pat. They had Artemi Panarin. They had Matt Duchesne. They had Sergei Bobrovsky. They stayed pat, and they didn't make a move. And in the first round, they knocked off the unbeatable, amazing, best, one of the best regular season teams I've ever seen in the 2019 Tampa Bay Lightning. So people considered that to be a win for Jarmo Kekalainen, the general manager in Columbus, and said, hey, they stayed pat. They won their playoff series. They got beat by Boston in the next round. It's unfair to say that keeping Mikhail Granlin is a failure if they don't win the Stanley Cup, because that's an incredibly high bar to say that they have to meet. But let's be honest. They need more young players. They need more young picks. And we can sit there and say it was good for Columbus to win that playoff series. But where's Columbus now? Columbus is towards the bottom of the division, probably going to sell here at the deadline, probably going to fire their coach, John Tortorella. I'm not saying that had they gotten rid of Panarin, had they gotten rid of Duchesne, that they would have gotten first-round picks and still would have been there towards the top today. But I remember a Matt Duchesne trade where Matt Duchesne went to the Ottawa Senators, where Kyle Turris, who, by the way, was just put on waivers, got sent to the Nashville Predators, And the Punch and Judy rebuilding Colorado Avalanche got a first-round pick, which ended up being Cale Makar, who might be one of the best defensemen maybe over the next decade. They also got Sam Girard in that deal, a second-round pick who right now would look really good on the Predators. So I just make the argument that, hey, we say second-round picks aren't that big of a deal. Second-round picks and prospects, Martin Erat wanted his way out, forced to trade, you got Philip Forsberg. David Legwand, the original pick of the franchise, got Cali Yarncroke. Again, second-round pick, Shea Weber, Roman Josi, fourth-round pick, Matthias Ekholm, eighth-round pick, which doesn't even exist anymore, Pekarinen. I'm just saying. I feel like they need to restock a little bit.
And to all of those people saying that it's not worth a second-round pick, you're not even willing to entertain the idea that it could possibly be, like you said, another Roman Josi? Because you hold on to Mikael Granlund, you know exactly what you're going to get out of him. You have his contract laid out. You've seen his production. And, yes, it has increased. And, yes, he's played a very integral part of this team and its growth in this past month. But you know what you're getting out of Mikael Granlund. And if you're going to build onto the future, you have to invest in the possibility that you may find something better. You may not. And everyone will say, what if we held on to Mikael Granlund? If David Poile decides to sell at the trade deadline, people will say, what if we held on to Mikael Granlund? Would this team have gone far in the playoffs? Would this team have made a cup run? Maybe, possibly. I don't think so. But I am very hard in my thinking that this team with Mikael Granlund will not make it far in the playoffs. This team with a second-round pick, this team with a prospect next year could make it further. And I'm willing to put more eggs in the basket of what if something better comes along.
Well, I'll use the example here, second-round picks, because people say, well, second-round pick, what's a second-round pick? You're just cherry-picking Roman Josi and Shea Weber as second-round picks. Okay, fine. But I will say this. The Titans for years, swung and missed in the second round. Whether it was Zach Brown or Doriel Green Beckham, I think there was like an 8-year period where the Titans literally swung and missed on every second round pick. And the second round was like the dreaded round. And then in 2016, they took Kevin Dodd, which is the second biggest bust of the John Robinson era. Obviously, Isaiah Wilson's the first. In the second round since then, Derrick Henry, AJ Brown. In the second round, Harold Landry in the second round. I mean, the second round has been pretty good to the Titans. I mean, right now, the Titans had two Pro Bowlers last year, AJ Brown and Derrick Henry, both picked in the second round. The second round is a good round. And you're talking about a guy that you could get that could be on your team for 5 years. I mean, even Colton Sissons. How long has Colton Sissons been on the Predators? He's been here, I believe, since 16. So you're talking about 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, now 21. 6 years Colton Sissons has been here. I think he signed for like 5 more years. So 11 years of Colton Sissons off of one Anders Lindback trade. And Colton Sissons had a hat trick in the Western Conference Final that got you to the Stanley Cup. The other guy in that deal, a second-round pick, Pontus Aberg, had a goal in Game 5 of the Western Conference Finals to win that game to get you to the Stanley Cup. I'm not saying that the second-round pick, I'm not saying that, hey, I'm banking everything on the second-round pick. I just don't think Granlund matters that much. And again, you're talking about somebody that could give you 10 years of hockey. Like the Cam Neely trade, where the Bruins traded Cam Neely. They still have assets from that trade. And that was in like the 80s or the early 90s or something crazy like that. David Legwand, the first original draft pick of the team, you still have the asset Cali Yarncroke. That's what I consider you getting in return for a guy like Mikael Granlund, who last year left in free agency and ended up coming back. He's not coming back this year. You should have got something for him last year. You didn't. You get a chance to do it over again. One thing I disagree with, though, is people say that David Poile – well, you know what? I'll get to what I disagree with coming up next. And how big is the Tampa Bay game? That's the other thing. Saturday night, big game Tampa Bay right here, 7 o'clock, ESPN 102.5 the game at home. All the injuries, but how big is it? 615-737-1025. We'll get to your calls. We'll get to your texts. Stillman and Company right here. Caroline's here. It's ESPN 102.5 the game.
Hey, Coach, I know a few months ago you talked about the word toughness and wanting this team to be tougher and getting over adversity. Well, you had three more injuries headed into tonight, and then you get that horrific call in the second period, and you guys explode. I mean, what can you say about the toughness level this team has created?
Well, it's something that we've, you know, we have talked about from day one together as a group, and I think that you know, over the course of time and togetherness, you know, you're able to do that. But, you know, it's something that we wanted to be. It's the identity that you have to win. You can't be a mentally weak team, a physically weak team, if you're going to have any success. And I think that, you know, we've continued to try to work at that, hammer it home and show some examples and give guys the opportunity to showcase that. And we have. And, you know, I think when you look at any team that has success, you have to be mentally and physically tough. You have to be able to get through adversity in pro sports. And you know, our guys are doing a good job with a no excuse mentality. And, you know, we need to continue that here down the stretch.
John Hines, no excuses, but going to be hard with the new news today. Ellie Tolvanen, lower body. Dante Fabbro, upper body, week to week. Matthew Olivier out 4 to 6 weeks with a lower body injury. And the Preds have also placed Philip Forsberg on the injured reserve. Adam Bingen was on our show earlier today. Tomorrow night against the big, bad Tampa Bay Lightning, the defending cup champions, the most likely team the Predators would play in the first round of the playoffs. How big, if they win with that roster, how big would it be on Saturday against Tampa Bay? Here's what Adam said.
It proves to me that whatever's in the water in the dressing room, you know, seems to be working. And I think Corey Curtis made a really good point earlier on the show, talking about how the players who have been injured and have come back into the lineup seem to have a pep in their step, for lack of a better phrase. Luke Kunin is a prime example. He had a few good games at the very beginning of the season. He was hurt, but he wasn't productive before that. Since he's been back, he's looked great. Even Roman Josi. I think Roman Josi has reached another level since he returned to the lineup. Like, I think when you think about the way the team has played without some guys, and I have to imagine that players, even if they have established positions on the roster, when they see the younger players stepping up and the team playing well when they're not out there, they know, whether it's inherent or not, that they have to step up their play too, or they're not going to be, or they're going to bring the team down. So to your point, a preseason-esque roster can beat a slumping but still very good Tampa Bay Lightning team. You know, I think that goes a long way to proving everything that we've heard from them in terms of them being on a different playing level.
Caroline Fenton, how would you feel if the Predators knock off Tampa Bay tomorrow night? Which, by the way, I think is the biggest regular season Preds game this season, is Saturday night. And I don't mean big because – There's no penalty for losing Saturday night, but a win tomorrow would be eye-opening. What do you think?
A win tomorrow would be huge, but a win tomorrow can't change anyone's decision of what they want to do for the trade deadline on Monday. Also, a loss shouldn't dictate what you do for the trade deadline. I think tomorrow would be a huge indication of this team's future and of their possibilities in the playoffs. And I think it would just be a huge exclamation point on this run that they've made. Look, we've beaten Dallas. We've beaten Chicago. We've beaten Detroit. Yes, those are all big wins. But you have your top tier of teams in the Central, and those teams that they beat are not in that top tier. So if you get a win against Tampa, which is a team in the top tier, then that's huge. But still doesn't change what I think the Preds should do before the trade deadline, and that is sell.
I would agree, but I would say this. To the people that want to just keep it and roll with it, the Corey Curtises, if you win tomorrow night, it's hard to make the argument against it. I'm with you on it, but it's hard. It is hard, so hard to make that. I mean, it's hard to, like, look at someone that's like, no, Jared, I want to go for it. I want to try to beat Tampa. It's hard for me to say you shouldn't at least try to roll with it. Let's take a look at the phone lines. Text line 615-737-1025. Text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Caroline, what do we have on the text line?
Texter to the text line says, your failure in thought always comes when you compare NHL draft to NFL. These picks won't be anywhere near the team for years. You two are acting like a pick will be here next year.
I'm not acting like a pick will be here next year. I'm acting like you traded away Anders Lindback after the 2012 season. In 2013, you drafted Colton Sissons, I believe. And Colton Sissons was on the team in 2016. So it took you 3 years, but really like two seasons, to get Colton Sissons onto your roster. He's been here for 5 years. He is signed for another five. No, he's been here for six. He signed for another five. You, in theory, are committed to 11 years of Colton Sissons. My point is that 11 years of a player is better than 28 days of Mikhail Granlund and one playoff series. That's my point.
And my point, too, is there's a possibility that there is something better out there. No, a pick may not be here next year, but there will be things down the line. So are you wanting to build your team up, or are you wanting to just do what works right now and your ceiling only goes down from there? Personally, that's my opinion.
I mean, like, if you stink in the draft in the NFL, it won't kill you that year. The Titans had a horrible draft last year, and it didn't rock their boat. Sissons drafted in 2012, my bad. But it didn't kill you. Like, it did not kill you last year that your draft wasn't very good. You had a bad draft in 2020. It could really hurt you in 2022, 2023. And I think that drafting is drafting. I think baseball, basketball, football, I mean, if you draft poorly, you're not going to win. Why did the Chicago Bulls become the Chicago Bulls? They drafted Michael Jordan. They drafted Scottie Pippen. They, I believe, drafted Horace Grant. I mean, like, that's how you get good. What else is in the text?
Texter, the text line says, get rid of Cousins. He's a bum. Get a fourth rounder and let one of the guys come up from the AHL and contribute more in their sleep than Cousins. I think that's a little harsh.
I do think Cousins is kind of a bum. Like, I'm not going to say that he just absolutely has to go. I mean, I do think it would be nice for him to go, but I do kind of agree with the Texter more than that. But nobody hypes him. Like, the players that aren't good, if nobody hypes him, I don't get mad about it. It's when people hype Craig Smith that I get mad about it. Nobody hypes Rocco Grimaldi, I don't get mad about it. But it's when you hype guys that aren't good, Ellis, Craig Smith, that I get all worked up by it. Okay, it's time for the money segment. It's time for Caroline's.
Get in on the action. Put the money on the mahogany. What's on tap on the sports books? It's time to break it all down with Caroline's. Here on Stillman and Company
on ESPN
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Take my money, Caroline Fenton. What are we starting off with?
Starting off with the Capitals traveling to Buffalo, taking Caps -1.5, and I think it'll be much higher than that. So I'm placing all of my faith into the Caps in Buffalo tonight, -1.5.
Well, Buffalo does stink. I will take the Caps too, especially after their loss last night against Boston. And let me say this. Let's say the Predators get knocked out by Tampa Bay. I am a Washington Capitals fan at that point. I am rooting for Laviolette. I know some people don't like him. I know some people don't care. I know some people root for Barry Trotz over Laviolette. I am rooting for Laviolette. Tough loss last night against the Bees. I think they probably have the best team in that Eastern Division. And I think they'll probably knock off whatever Canadian team makes it out of the North if they make it out of the East. I like the Capitals. I like them tonight. I like them in general.
Next, we got the Penguins traveling to New Jersey. The line is 1.5 on this one. I don't think that they're going to win by two, so I'm going to take the Penguins' money line on this one.
I think both teams stink, if I'm not mistaken. I guess, you know what? I'll go ahead and I will take the New Jersey Devils +1.5. Give me the points here. I will take them plus just to go the opposite of you, but I mean, both teams stink. I mean, what made you pick this game? Is there like a tell that you feel good about this game? Like, what specifically worked up your fancy about this one?
I just think it's a safe money line. I think that I think Pittsburgh is a way better team than New Jersey, not -1.5's worth. But I just thought it was a pretty safe money line. I'm trying to get our viewers some money here. Moving on, Rangers, Islanders, the Durs, as I affectionately call them. Taking the Durs, -144 money line.
Yeah, you know, the Rangers, man, they started off hot. They've really kind of fallen off. I think the Islanders are the second best team out of Eastern Division. I really do think that division, you know, the way it plays out, is Laviolette's going to get past his first round. Trotsky's going to get past his first round. They're going to face each other. I'm going to root for Laviolette, but not a huge fan of the Rangers and not a believer in the Rangers. I will take – what's the spread on this one? I know you gave me the money line, but is there go ahead and give me the 1.5.
Okay.
It'll be, I think that the Islanders will have a lead, and then I think that they will put one home in an empty net. So give me the Islanders -1.5.
I kind of like that. I actually might take that instead. I might put some money on that. That's how much.
All right, let's get to the big game on Saturday. Let's get to the big one on Saturday. The Mahogany, the minor league Predators with Roman Josi, UC Saros, Matias Ekholm, and Ryan Johansson versus the big bad defending cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning.
So the lines and the spread isn't out on that game yet, but I'll just give you my pick. I'm taking the Preds.
Okay.
Preds money line. I like what I've seen. I like what I saw from the Preds last night. If they play how they played last night, they beat Tampa Bay.
So I'm going to take the Predators money line too. And here's why I'm going to take the Predators money line, whatever the money line is. The odds will be so skewed in Tampa's favor based upon the injuries the Predators have.
100%.
That it wouldn't even be worth your while to bet Tampa Bay. So
you may lose money if Tampa Bay wins.
That would be a take. I'm betting the Predators because I think you'll get pretty good odds. And again, to Adam Dingin's point, there feels like there's something in the water right now with this team. I'll take the Predators money line for tomorrow night. Whatever that money line is, I think the odds are going to be really, really stinking good. Caroline's, as always, right here on Stillman & Company. We'll wrap up the show on a Fireball Hot Take Friday, 615-737-1025. It's ESPN 1025 The Game. We're streaming on the Game Nashville app. Stillman & Company, Fireball Hot Take Friday. We got to get the worst take of the day, but before we do that, Caroline Fenton throwing me under the bus on Twitter today, photoshopping me as Little Debbie of the Little Debbie Snack Cakes, pandering at its worst. I do appreciate the hustle, though. It does market yourself well to the people that don't like me. So I'll give you that.
Thank you. And I would have to say that this is the most positive feedback I have received since I've arrived in Nashville is whenever I say mean things about you, people love it. As somebody said that I will fit very well here. I will fit in very well here because if I'm mean to you.
So there's a portion of the Predators, like the people that cover the Predators, the media, that got really upset 3 years ago. Because they all picked the Predators to beat Chicago. And everybody else picked Chicago to beat the Predators, including yours truly. And I said that they were local Homer media. And they got so mad. I would state for the record that I've never taken it back. And I'm not going to take it back. But they got so mad. But I think what happened was they learned that the most interaction or the most attention they get is when they talk bad about me. So they made a habit out of doing it. And I now worry that my co-host is going to do that as well.
Hey, but we're all on the same team here. And if anybody would like to see my Photoshop of Jared as not just Little Debbie, but Little Debbie Downer, follow me on Twitter at CarolineFenton1.
Oh, shameless.
Shameless plug.
Shameless. It's time now for Worst Take of the Day.
Jared's Worst Take of the Day presented by Caroline Fenton.
The back under the bus. What happened to just worst take of the day? It's back to Jared's worst take of the day.
It's back to Jared's worst take of the day. And look, I threw you under the bus earlier. I was mean to you earlier. And like I said, we are on the same team. And I'm not going to burn all my bridges in week one. So I'll be easy on you with Jared's worst take of the day today. At the very beginning of the show, you said that there were four women who could probably benefit from a shot of Fireball. I'm going to say that's your worst take of the day because I think all of the ladies in here can benefit from a shot of Fireball. I think everyone can benefit from a shot of Fireball, not just the four that you're with. So everyone deserves that on this Friday afternoon is a shot of Fireball.
I think you're trying to steal my endorsement now, too. I feel like it's Caroline's trying to market herself to the Fireball people and maybe doing that well. And I don't disagree with what you said. I think everybody that is over the age of 21 and can drink responsibly would use a shot of Fireball. I guess if you're watching the stream, I've been saying I'm in parts unknown. I'm in Phoenix right now. So we had some plans last year that ended up not coming to pass like a lot of people's plans. So me and a bunch of friends from college are kind of making up for that. And I believe there will be fireball to be had. I got to get to the take today of the guy who took Matt Duchesne's radio silence on Twitter as a sentiment that he's given up on the city of Nashville. And that was a take. Now, I like takes, and I'm pro those kind of takes. You know, like the gossipy, salacious, like, you know, going down the rabbit hole takes. But I have to believe that the fans of Nashville that were just so giddy for Matt Duchesne, I would argue that they've given up on him more than he's given up on them, to the point that I didn't like, you know, I'm not a huge fan of the Duchesne move, but I think Duchesne's got a little bit more to offer. But that today was a take. And I say bring those takes to the radio show.
Absolutely. They are encouraged and always welcomed. And that was a pretty spicy sequence of callers that we had. First, we had a caller saying that Matt Duchesne has given up on the city of Nashville. And then our next caller said that he wanted to set Ryan Ellis on fire.
Yeah, that was a take. By the way, my vote for worst take of the day belongs to Joe Rexroad. No, excuse me, Robbie Stanley, who said this morning, sorry, Joe, it's just my habit. Robbie Stanley said this morning that he thinks that Wesley Woodyard was just being too sensitive with his Vrabel criticisms. That's going to do it for us. We are out of here. We are back Monday. Everybody have a safe weekend. Moneyline with Chase McCabe and Ryan Porth. That's coming up next. Stillman & Company, we will see you Monday at 2:00.